You're listening to the Northside Assembly Podcast, Jackson, Tennessee. For more information, including our service times, visit us online at northsideaog.org.
I'm just believing that we can take something away today that will not only shape the way that we approach life. You know, a lot of times we can just take principles from the Bible and apply that, which is great, but I'm just believing for the Holy Spirit to do some things in people's hearts, in people's spirits. Man, the Holy Spirit can move in ways that we never could. The Holy Spirit can do things that I never could do. So we're just going to let the Holy Spirit do his thing this morning. But hey, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn with me to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, I'm just going to be sticking in verses 1 and 2. I love the book of Romans, a great letter from Paul. And so I'm going to be reading out of the New Living Translation. That'll be what's up on the screen as well if you don't have that with you. But Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Can we pray? Father, speak today. Speak today. Speak through your word. Lord, I pray that your voice would just be so loud today. Let me fade to the background, God, and let your voice, Holy Spirit, let your words, let what you want to say be heard today by everybody here, everybody that's listening online. Lord, I pray that you would just move in ways that I say things that I didn't even know to write, say things that I didn't even put in my notes. Lord, speak in people's hearts and minds today, Lord, and let us leave not just inspired, not just feeling good, Lord, but let us leave changed. And if you agree with that, say amen. Awesome, awesome, awesome. I just want to break this scripture down a little bit piece by piece. There's three main pieces of this verse that I want to stick out that I really feel like can lead us along in a good way on the path that God has for us. And that first one says to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. You know, we just talked about Memorial Day and the sacrifice that these people, that soldiers, you know, through the years have sacrificed themselves for the good of the country. You know, John 15, 13 says that there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. A sacrifice means to lay down something for the sake of another thing. So what Paul is saying here, to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, I love the Message translation of this verse. It won't be on the screen, but it says it right here. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. That's what it means when it says offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Because most of the time when you talk about a sacrifice, it's talking about something that died for the sake of another thing. But he says a living sacrifice. We're to be living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. And so it says, take your everyday ordinary life. How many of y'all are like, I got an ordinary life? Nothing really, I don't feel like anything really special going on here. But that's not true. As living sacrifices, we're not just to give up our lives in a physical death. Paul is saying for us to live our lives in constant worship to the Lord. See, don't ever let the enemy trick you into thinking that your life isn't pleasing to God just because you're not a pastor, you're not a worship leader, you're not a Sunday school teacher, you're not an usher. Don't think that your life is not pleasing to God just because you don't work at a church or serve in a place in the church. May your daily, ordinary life can be worship to God. Your everyday life can be worship to God. It's all about your heart and how you approach that. Your nine to five job is every bit as precious if you do it in worship to the Lord. Because what I have found is that an ordinary life can yield extraordinary worship. An ordinary life can yield extraordinary worship. Just you, let me, if you're a stay-at-home mom, man, worship may look like feeding your kids, pouring into them while they're in your care. That may be, that's worship to the Lord, man. If you're doing that unto the Lord, that is worship. Say you're a factory worker. Worship may look like just being on time, working your hardest, and being a light to the people around you. Man, if you're doing that unto the Lord, that is worship. Man, if we think about it that way, when we say the word worship, we think of the songs that we just sing, which didn't the worship team do a great job? Man, I love these people. They're fantastic. I kind of put y'all on the spot. Y'all aren't going to like say no. They were awful. Y'all aren't going to say that. But pretty much whatever I say from the microphone, y'all just do. It's kind of amazing. But we limit our scope of what worship is. Worship is not just the few songs that we sing. Worship is life. Worship is the way that we live. Worship isn't necessarily a song. Worship is just expressing the worthiness of the Lord. And if we walk through our daily lives, if we do our daily ordinary things as an offering to the Lord, man, that is true and proper worship. That's true and proper worship. And you know what I've found in the worship atmosphere is that Satan would gladly give you Sundays. Satan will gladly let you feel like you're doing your duty, you're doing your thing for the Lord on Sunday if he can have the rest of the 6 days of the week. Satan will gladly give you today if he knows that he can have Monday through Saturday. Man, this is not really where the worship happens. This is great. I don't want y'all to feel like you weren't doing anything here. This is great. But man, the true and proper worship happens when you're at work. The true and proper worship happens when you're at your job. The true and proper worship happens when you're studying at home, doing all your schoolwork. Man, all of those daily, ordinary life things can be moments for extraordinary worship. It's about waking up every day and telling Jesus that your life is his and he can use it how he wants to use it. And I want to settle some people down, man. A lot of us, especially some of these graduates that are graduating this year, maybe there's some people you're kind of in a transition season of your life. You're like, man, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what my life is going to look like, what my vocation is going to be, where I'm going to go to college, all those things. Let me just settle you down real quick. That is not nearly as important. What you do is not nearly as important as who you do it for. It's all about who you do it for. Everybody say, it's all worship. Come on, say it again. It's all worship. And Colossians 3:17 says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Moving on, the next part says, do not conform to the pattern of this world. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. Again, I love the Message translation of this verse. It says, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Ooh, that's good. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. In third grade, this was in 1999. I did the math. I was in third grade. Some of y'all are like, I had kids in third grade when you were in third grade. But I was in Miss Nunn's class, and we had a reading half hour. So every day we would have a half hour of reading during our school. And there was this really, really popular book series that came out at the time. And so the school, you know, they were communicating with families and just telling them like what we were going to be doing. And so my parents saw that we were going to be reading this book. And the book contained just some stuff that we didn't as Christians really believe in or support. And so my parents didn't really want me, so the whole class was going to be reading this together and discussing it and all that kind of stuff. And my parents didn't really want me to be a part of that because it wasn't stuff that we believed in or supported. And so they called my teacher and they were like, hey, you know, we're not trying to mess your stuff up, but would you mind if Drew just left the class at that time and just read a book in the hallway outside every day. And they were like, okay, yeah, that's fine. And so they thought that matter was settled. But for me, I had to be the weirdo that every day during reading time, they're like, all right, Drew, you can leave. And so I had to like get up in third grade, and in third grade, everything's embarrassing. And so I had to walk out and take my book. I probably just slept out there. I don't really remember. But I remember going in the hallway and reading by myself, and then someone would come and grab me after class, and I would come back in, and everybody's talking about this book, and I just have no idea what's going on. They're saying stories and references, and I just feel so out of the loop about what was going on. See, there was the class was kind of sitting in a pattern. Okay, everyone in my class was taking part in this activity, but since my family didn't really believe in that activity, I was separated from them. You know, I was a little bit alienated. I felt weird not being in the loop of what everybody was talking about, but here's what I want to say is that sometimes that's what it takes. Sometimes that's what it takes to follow the Lord. See, we're not called to follow the patterns of the world. We're not called to conform to what the world says is okay. And sometimes when we decide to not conform, we go against the current, like we feel a little bit out of place because the majority of people are walking one way and we're sitting here walking the other. And there's times where we can feel a little alienated. We feel weird not being in the loop. But see, the world has this pattern of living, and it talks about in Galatians 5, 19 and 20. It kind of walks through all of these things that wicked living does. I'm not going to spend time reading that right now, but we're not called to conform to the patterns of the world. Conformity means this. I love this definition. It says to accept values and ideas regardless of whether you agree with them in order to follow the crowd. To accept values and ideas, regardless of whether you agree with them or not. Man, some of these, especially you graduates going to college or stepping into your career path, this is a big thing. You know, there's a huge percentage of Christian teenagers that are dug into a church, and when they go to college, they fall off. And I would venture to say that this would probably be the big thing. We don't want to go against the current because that's weird. You don't want to walk against what everybody else is doing because you don't want to really stand out. But we are called to stand out. We're called to stand out. Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, it gives us a caution against following the crowd. It says this, it says, wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. See, graduates, church, God didn't call us to conform to the world's standards. He called us to be holy, to be set apart, to be different. That's what we're called to. We weren't called to follow the crowd. We were called to follow the one, capital O. We're not called to follow the crowd. We're called to follow the one. And we do this because we follow the one because we know that he can be trusted, that he's the one that's going to lead us on the path to life. We don't follow the crowd. They're on the road to destruction. We follow the one because he's going to lead us the right way. And another reason why we don't follow the crowd is for those that are lost. Imagine you got a sea of people walking one way on that road to destruction. If they don't see any other way, then they're just going to keep following the crowd. But imagine if they saw you walking against the current. You're going to stand out for a reason. You're going to stand out for a reason so that people can see that and maybe rethink what they're doing. How am I living? Is this really what I want to be doing? That's why we're called to be set apart. That's why we're called to be holy and to follow the Lord, so that other people can see and rethink what they're doing in their lives. We have to not follow the current. We have to not follow the crowd. We got to follow the one. Hey, I really felt convicted while I was studying. I wanted to share to parents real quick. Man, I'm so grateful, so thankful that my parents did stuff like that in third grade for me. Now, in third grade, I didn't like it. I was like, Mom, Like, everybody else is doing this. Why can't I? It's just a book. It's just this. You know, I would always say that everybody else is doing it. And they would always come back with the same thing. Well, son, Drew Bear, so they used to call me. If y'all start calling me that. They say, well, that may be what they do, but that's not what we're about. And so we're not going to do that. Parents, let me tell you, from this side of it, I'm so thankful because I'm the man that I am. I learned from a young age. I didn't understand it then, but I learned from a young age that I'm not about following the crowd. I'm about following the one. That's all that matters, is following the one. And parents, may you have this responsibility to teach your kids to not conform. Just because every other kid does this, just because every other kid does that, just because every other parent allows their kids to do this and that, doesn't mean that that's right for yours. You have to determine, you have to find out, you have to study and read scripture and pray about what's right for your family and your kid, because they're your responsibility. If you follow the one, he's gonna lead you right on the path to life. The third part, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, if you're like me, you like this part because I'm like, yes, Lord, you left a little bit of IQ points out of me, so I need you to kind of remake my mind over, redo that a little bit for me. But that's not what Paul is talking about here. The Bible is saying to renew the way that you think. See, we each have a way about us. We each have learned habits and learned thought processes that determine how we navigate through life. So I have a little brother. His name is Levi, well, brother-in-law. Could you put him up on the screen? That'd be great. This is a picture. Isn't he cute? He's the bomb. He's awesome. So you can't really see at the bottom of him, but he has several of these Rubik's Cubes. I think he's got like 10 of them. And you see, they're all weird shaped. Have any of y'all ever tried to do one of these before? Anybody ever tried to do a Rubik's Cube before? Nobody? Yeah, I didn't really want to either because it's too difficult. But he is a master at these things. So he started with a little 2x2 one and just really got hooked into it and started figuring out and solving all these things. He's brilliant. Like, he's just kind of doing them like all in 10 seconds, and I'm lucky to get one side right, and that takes me several hours. But it was amazing to see how he did that. But he's got a little book on the left side of the screen. It says "Secret Tutorial for the Rubik's Cubes," and it was really interesting to see. See, in my hands and with my reasoning, this is chaos. Like, I can mix this thing up and try to solve it to the best of my ability. But at my very best, I can maybe get one side, and that takes me a very, very long time. But the only way that I can really solve this is by using the directions that the Creator puts in the box. That's really the only way that I can solve this thing. I mean, it is next to impossible to solve this without instructions. There's a very specific way. It's really cool how it works. There's certain patterns. There's a certain way you have to hold it. There's all these different algorithms. He taught me that word because I didn't know that before this. But again, in my hands and at my very best, I fall far short of solving this puzzle. My only hope is the instructions that the Creator put in the box. In life, at the same kind of thing, at my very best, at our very best, at our peak, we can fall far short of succeeding in life. We can work hard, we can strive, we can toil, we can do our very, very best to solve and to succeed in this thing called life. We can try to navigate every twist and turn to the best of our ability and our knowledge, but still seem to get it wrong. And that's where, just like this cube, man, we have to turn to the Creator. See, the Creator put this whole thing together. The Creator knows exactly how this works. The Creator knows exactly the moves and the things that you need to do to make this thing work. Church graduates, we need to turn to the Creator for the instructions on how to succeed in this thing called life. We can't do this on our own. It's stressful trying to do this on our own. I want to throw this thing across the room in about 10 minutes. It's not okay. All of that stress, all of those things that make me want to say words that I'm not supposed to say, I can avoid that. All I got to do is turn to the Creator. All I got to do is listen to the voice of the Creator, and He will just walk me through step by step by step, and it'll end up turning out exactly how He wants it to go. And the beautiful thing about this cube is that when you actually start following the directions, you start to see the progress. You start to see things forming. You start to see things moving into position. Just like the Lord, when we start following Him, when we start following His standard and His law and the way that He tells us to do things, man, things begin to piece together, and that builds a little bit of faith. It builds a little bit of excitement. We're like, okay, like I'm getting this thing. But you know, every once in a while we'll make a wrong turn, and we'll mess up. We'll get off track. But He will, as long as we jump back into His instruction, as long as we jump back into what He has for us, He's not going to leave us just because we mess up once. He's not going to pull His instructions just because we get off track once. He's always there. As soon as we decide to come back, man, He's ready to lead us. He's ready to follow us again and again. You know, sometimes we get off and we try to start solving this thing on our own. We're like, we start getting somewhere and we're like, okay, God, I got this. You can just step back. You can just step back and watch me do it. And then we find ourselves in a mess again. But again, God is faithful. God is faithful. As soon as we can come back to Him, as soon as we realize that we've been doing things wrong, we can come back to Him and He'll still start leading us step by step by step. He doesn't leave. If we get off track, He doesn't leave. He doesn't quit on us. He's always ready to keep leading us in every single step of the way. Church, all we got to do is turn to the Creator. All we got to do is turn to the Creator. Let Him renew our minds. Let Him renew our thinking. See, we try to do things by our own thought processes. We try to do things by our own reasoning. Man, that doesn't work. But if we just let the Holy Spirit renew our minds and change the way we think, He'll lead us along the path to life. Hey, as I come to a close today, all of these things, they seem like a lot of things. Drew, you're telling us to do just a lot of stuff. But I feel like this is a very simple way to get where the Lord wants us to get. All of these things that we've covered today, offering our lives as a sacrifice to God, not conforming but being holy, and letting the Holy Spirit renew our minds, they all lead to one place. If you could throw that first scripture up there. It says, then. Everybody say then. It says, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Don't conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by renewing of your minds. And then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good and pleasing and perfect will. See, people, there are a lot of unanswered questions in this life. There's unanswered questions all in front of us, all around us. What career path should I take? What am I supposed to do with my life? Who am I supposed to marry? All of these blank spaces that are laid out in front of us. But today, the Lord wants to take a little bit of that pressure off. He wants to take a little bit of that pressure off of you. If you just live your life as a sacrifice to the Lord, stay holy. Don't follow the patterns of the world. Stay holy. Be set apart. Be different. And follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, and not just your own reasoning. He will show you His will. He'll show you His will. And it says that it's good, and it's pleasing, and it's perfect. Hey, why don't you stand with me this morning? Worship team, could you just come and play a little bit? Hey, I just want to pray for you this morning. Would you just bow your heads? Close your eyes with me. Hey, maybe there's some of you in the house today where you feel like you've just been kind of living for yourself. You feel like your daily life has just been you know, mainly just ordinary. And you want to turn that into worship that's holy and pleasing to God. Maybe there's some of you in here that you know that you've been conforming in some ways. You don't necessarily agree with the way that the world has been running or living or doing things, but you've been conforming. You've been going along with that. Maybe you've been doing some things that you don't believe in, that God is not okay with. And you feel like you need to change that this morning. Maybe there's some of you that you've been trying life on your own. You've been struggling and toiling and doing your best to navigate this whole thing by yourself. And it's just left you feeling lost. It's left you feeling like you're in chaos. Man, the Holy Spirit can lead you. The Holy Spirit can guide you. The Lord's standing by just saying, trust in me. Lean on me. Let me take you by the hand and take you step by step. Man, if any of those apply to you, would you just agree with this prayer with me in your heart? Lord, all in all, we just want to know your will for our lives. We know that you're good. We know that you are the one that we need to be following, but sometimes we can just get lost in life. But Lord, I just pray, God, that we would all offer our lives, our daily ordinary lives, as worship to you. Lord, I pray that we would not see just Sunday as our act of worship, God, but that on a random Tuesday evening, Lord, when we're sitting at home with our family, not really thinking that anything special is going on, Lord, however we treat that time, Lord, if we treat that as worship to you, God, then that's going to be, that's a special thing. Ordinary things can be used for extraordinary worship. Lord, so I pray that every day, God, that we would wake up saying, however you want to use me, Lord, use me. Lord, I lay myself down as a sacrifice for your praise. Lord, I pray for anybody that's conform to the pattern of this world. Lord, I pray that you would convict us. Help us to turn back to you. Help us to not be so worried about what the world is saying. Help us not to be so worried about what the world is doing. It can be so tempting to try to follow the crowd, Lord, but that's not what you called us to. Lord, you are the way. You are the one. You're the one that we should chase after. God, give us the boldness. Lord, I pray for a supernatural strength, a supernatural determination, Lord, that we are going your way, and that's that. Lord, we draw a line in the sand this morning, saying that I will not step over this into the world standard. Lord, I'm going to live holy and pleasing to my Savior. Lord, and I pray that as we do that, Lord, that you would just let there be such a harvest. Lord, I pray for a harvest of people. Lord, as we start living your standard, Lord, I pray that it would raise question marks in people's minds. Let it raise questions in people's minds like, is the way that I'm living really worth it? Or is this Jesus thing really something that I need to try out? Lord, let those things happen. And Father, I just pray that you would help us to rely on your Holy Spirit. Lord, just like this cube, don't let us just try to solve it on our own. Lord, it'll just leave us stressed out, frustrated, all sorts of in a mess. God, but if we just follow you step by step, you're going to lead us to wholeness and you're going to lead us to life. So help us to follow your Spirit and follow your leading. Lord, and lead us to your will. Lead us to your will. In your name, Jesus. Everybody said amen. Amen.